From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. The Blue Shirts got blitzed tonight in Long Island, 6-1, losing at the Coliseum. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff, man. And it was an ugly, ugly night for the Rangers tonight. You know, I thought once the Rangers were down 3-0 versus this team, any team within the division, I would still give us a fighting chance. But the Islanders are a different animal when it comes to but them holding the lead or having a lead, a 3-goal lead. And once I saw Bouvier get the other goal, make it 3-0. And I know Rooney got the goal to make it 3-1, but the Islanders had a strong, strong third period. Normally, the Rangers played very, very good third periods throughout the season, but tonight they just didn't have it, man. The Islanders, to me, they dominated this game from start to finish. They were all the pucks was in their offensive zone, or it seemed, and in that game, you know. So let me put the Knicks game down real quick as we do this episode. I was just saying, they came out flat. They were flat tonight. Or was it the Islanders was just that good? And I probably have to say a 4-point game by Bouvier. And the fact that the Rangers just could not get it going, they had their hands full with Matthew Barzal. His breakaway, they should have called it a penalty shot. The Rangers got off scot-free off of that, but nonetheless, man, it was a strong game for Brock Nelson. It was a strong game for Josh Bailey, Bouvier, and John Gabriel Pekamba. I mean, the whole Islanders game, the whole Islanders team did their thing tonight. And it goes without saying, because the Rangers have had a good stretch versus the Devils. The last time we spoke here last week, we were looking three out of the four wins versus the Devils, and they got all four. So they kind of, I would call it house money, but they did a very good job winning all four games versus the Devils. But, man, tonight, what? It was ugly, man. Now, you know, these type of games happen, all right? These type of games do occur, but you just got to come back and bounce back for the rest of the schedule. You know, you got Philadelphia a couple of times. You got the Buffalo Sabres. You got to face these same Islanders at the very end of this month. But, yeah, the Rangers just did not have it, man. Glenn NYR on Twitter. Glenn, give me your thoughts on tonight's game. This is one of those games you just throw it away. But I thought the Rangers had a good week versus the Devils, and, you know, 4 out of 4. But coming back, man, they got destroyed, outplayed, thoroughly outplayed, man. It just didn't look good from the start. How you doing, sir?
Steve, how are you? I think you're exactly right. You take this tape and throw it away. Haven't had a sticker in a long time.
You never resisted.
You know, the euphoria of the four games against the Devils was doused like a fire hose tonight. I think, Valachet midway through the third period was right. He said that the best player for the Rangers on the ice tonight was Rooney, and, you know, that's good for him, but it's not good for the team. And, let's face it. I mean, the Islanders are in a fight for first place. They're a good team. They've got the hands of arguably the best executive in the league in Lou Lamoriello, and arguably the best coach in the league in Barry Trotz all over them. They have depth. They have size. They have great goaltending. I'm not sure who the Eastern Division plays in the conference finals, if it's the Northern Division. But if it is, I can see me having to sit through six or seven games of worrying about the Islanders riding the Stanley Cup in a Union Turnpike parade again. I don't think that'll happen, but when I look around at the North and I look at the Eastern Division, all the teams have flaws, and I can see the Islanders getting to the finals very easily. They've got what you need to win in the playoffs. Like I said, size, speed, experience, clutch goaltending, great defense. They've got all the ingredients that you need to get through the playoffs, and they got me a little worried that I'm going to be sitting in July worrying about watching them win a cup again, but I don't think they will. I think there's teams in the West that can handle them, but they look very good right now, and they look really good tonight.
All right, all right. Now, what about your thoughts as far as the last three encounters? Lost 2 out of 3 to the Islanders. This game was, I think, almost how we saw it open at night. You know, when the Islanders really took charge from the jump. So I guess Jersey, if you could look at it from a Jersey perspective with the Devils, they're just out of it, and the Rangers did what they needed to do. I mean, 4 straight games. We said even last week we were hoping just to get 3 out of 4 at minimum, and we got all 4, which is fantastic. But that's what you kind of want to do. You wanted to see how you stack up against the better or best teams in the division. They dropped the last 2, and it was on the road. It is what it is. But now you have several more games left. You got another game versus the Islanders towards the end of the month. Well, you got 2 more. One more in April, one in May. But if you need to get these points, you're going to have to see Washington. You're going to have to see Boston. I mean, it's good that we're accumulating points versus the Devils. But if we're going to have even a shot of getting – more points, and then, you know, Boston has those makeup games. It looks really, you know, a very challenging feat for the Rangers. They have to go on more of a roll than they already have, right?
Yeah, I mean, I read today some analytics or some projections of what the Rangers would have to do in order to make the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, short of Boston collapsing, which – you know, I don't see right now because Rask is back. They finally got some secondary scoring with that second line of Hall, you know, who they brought in, and who are the other guys? Oh, Krejci and Craig Smith, who I've got Krejci and Craig Smith in my on my fantasy team, so I'm happy that they're doing well in that aspect, but not happy as a Ranger fan that they're doing. So, you know, as far as that, or the Bruins have 2 lines now that are scoring, and it's tough to see them collapsing. I mean, the Rangers are going to have to come close to running the table to have a shot. And the thing with Boston, too, besides those games at hand, they've got a number of games with the Devils and Buffalo still. So, you know, we've been saying for weeks, trying to hang in there, hoping that they could find a way to get in. But they're not eliminated yet. But, you know, in the eyes of a lot of people, it's going to be tough to try and make up those points, especially against, you know, with a couple more games against the Islanders who have something to play for. And
you're absolutely correct.
You know, and you know, Steve, I mean, the one good thing about the Devil series was that, you know, they say this in every sport, baseball, football, it doesn't matter. You beat up on the teams that you're better than, and you try to go 500 or a little bit better against the good teams. So, you know, that Devil series was a good sign. I mean, we talked about how you want to jump on teams like that right away, and they did that in every game. The first two, the Devils kind of, you know, really kind of didn't show a lot of fight, and the Rangers were able to just glide to a couple of victories. I think by the third game, the Devils were just so tired of getting their brains bashed in that, you know, they kind of took exception to it, and just human nature, you want to fight back. So, you know, that's kind of what happens in a playoff series, right? I mean, the first couple of games, you're kind of feeling each other out, and, you know, then the tempers start to flare and the emotions start to rise. And I think that's what happened in game three and four. But you could tell by Sunday. I mean, the Devils were just so tired of getting beat up by us. I mean, Jack Hughes took that Tony DeAngelo unnecessary misconduct. I mean, we're just better than him. And, I mean, the Devils got killed by Pittsburgh again tonight, too. So, I mean, that's a team that, you know, we'll see if they win two or three more games the rest of the season. But, you know, from that aspect, I think the Rangers, you know, did what they had to do. You got to beat the teams that you're better than. The thing is right now that, you know, I mean, they've shown that they could be a playoff team. If you look at the rest of the league, I checked, they're in fourth place in every division. In fact, they got a 7-point lead in one of the divisions. I think it's in the West, and they are, you know, ahead of Montreal in the North. They're a point ahead of Nashville in the Central, but they'd have two games at hand. So, I mean, this is a team. I think they have the 14th best record in the league. So, it's a team that's you know, on the fringe of getting into playoffs and could be a playoff team. But there's a big difference between being a fringe playoff team and being a contender, and they're not there yet. They will be, and they will be soon, but, you know, they're not there yet. So, you know, again, I mean, I think we've gotten a lot of what we wanted to see out of the season so far. It'll be interesting to see what happens down the line with these last 10 games. You hope they can still show some fight and have a lot of energy and win some games. But, you know, they're getting there. Not there yet, but like I said, any of the other three divisions, they'd be in the playoffs. And in this one now, they're, you know, pretty far behind. That's going to be hard to make it up. So.
That is the luck of the draw, man.
Yeah. I was going to say that happens sometimes. And next year when we get back to the regular alignments with, you know, with the regular divisions and all, I expect this team to be, you know, at this point in the season with 10 games left to be, you know, in a comfortable spot in the playoffs. I really do. But for now, you know, we've it's certainly been better than it's been the last couple of years. And there's a lot of guys still coming in the pipeline that aren't here yet. And, you know, I think they've made a lot of progress this year. So I'm disappointed.
So are you saying on this episode, Glenn, April the 20th, 2021, you are waving the white flag. You are conceding to the 2021 Rangers season. It is over as far as playoffs.
Steve, I think I said that on March 20th.
Yep.
You want to
pin
that April 20th? Okay.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I just don't see how they're going to do it. I mean, you know, the Bruins have both of their goalies out, and they bring in a Jeremy Swayman, who looks like the second coming of Jerry Cheevers. I mean, when you've got that kind of luck watching over you, I just don't see how they're going to collapse now, because they're getting guys back. They're getting more whole. And, you know, between the games in hand, the number of games they got against Buffalo and the Devils, and just reading today how the Rangers were going to have to come close to running the table just to have a chance to get in. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I will be shocked if we're watching playoffs this year for the Rangers.
You have a great point. It ain't over till it's over, but it's really hard to really see this happening, because realistically the way – the Bruins have been playing. I mean, they've won their last five in a row, including two back-to-back wins over the Islanders at home, and then they had a nice win versus the Capitals at home. And to your point, which you said, they have at least four games versus the Sabres, a couple versus Jersey, and then a couple of against us. And by the time they play the Islanders at the end, I'm pretty sure the Islanders, I'm not sure if they're going to be fighting for first place at that point or even resting guys. But the opponents that they play and the way they've been beating teams, it looks really bad for the Rangers up until this point. For our team, for the next week to week, you know, couple of weeks as we analyze their play, let's just hope they continue to play strong. They didn't have it to, they did not have it tonight. Shesterkin, who was the conference player of the week, had a bad night. Islanders, from top to bottom, they played like playoff mode ready. Chasing Barzell, they were just escaped behind the entire time. Just a bad outing, and you need that type of game tonight just to keep the, you know, just to keep pace with Boston, if to still even have a shot. And this is not to necessarily kill the Rangers. This is just one bad outing, but you got to win everything the rest of the way for the most part just to have a shot, man. Especially those two games versus Boston. If it's like maybe a four-point difference at that point, or however the Boston, if they find a way to lose. But guys have been playing well, man. I mean, they have. I mean, versus the Devils. But you got to do it again versus the Islanders, the Capitals, and, you know, the better teams.
I'd love to see them give two good efforts in those Boston games just to kind of show that they've got some fight in them, even if it doesn't wind up, you know, mattering. You know, they're 6 points out now. The Bruins still have those couple of games at hand. I mean, if the schedules were reversed and we were 6 points behind and maybe we had the two games at hand, I wouldn't be giving up at all. But and I'm not giving up on this team as a whole. But I just think the combination of all those things is going to make it real tough to make up those points. And again, you know, back in January and early February, Steve, we were saying, you know, they're giving away these points. All these points they're giving away, they're going to come back to bite them. They're going to regret this. And, well, you know, didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, that those points were going to come in handy now. And, you know, we don't have them. So, you know, it's just, it's not a matter of giving up on the team, being disappointed in this one game. It happens. But, you know, I just think, and especially if Trouba's out. I mean, I don't know what happened. Initially, I thought it was an ankle, but then they said it was an upper body. So maybe it was, he looked a little off balance. Maybe he hit his head. You know, when they miss a guy like that, I mean, not just for the leadership, but the toughness on the ice, the defense, you know, if he's out, it's going to make it that much tougher as well. So we'll see. I'm not giving up on them as a team. I'm very excited for the future, but for this year, it's going to take a miracle, I think.
You're right. It is going to take a miracle. There's no disagreement there, man. Along with the giving up the points at that time, like you said, I also think the Panarin situation with the scandal set us back as well. Without him, the Rangers don't go. You know, he's the playmaker. He's the guy who sets up everything, whether it's for other guys or even his own shot with a slap shot. When he goes, we go. And when he was out for those stretch of those nine games, it really hurt us as far as whatever points we could have gotten at that time.
Yeah,
that's kind of hurt us as well. And that's something you just did not see coming, you know?
But, you know, to their credit, Steve, I think it was 10 games. I think they went like 6-4 in those games. So to their credit, they did a pretty good job while he was out. Now, could we have picked up another couple of points here or there in those games? I don't remember them all. So, yeah, we might have. But they did a pretty good job of maintaining. And don't forget, Zibanejad wasn't quite back yet either. At that point.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, they did pretty well when he was out. But, you know, going back to the Bruins, I mean, they don't lose. Over the last 2 weeks, they don't lose. We keep winning. And they've had Halak and Rask out for weeks. Could you imagine if we had Georgiev and Shesterkin out for weeks? Where would we be? They're getting performances from these guys that you never heard of, and somehow they're still finding a way to win these games. And, again, that's why I say it's going to be tough to see the Bruins collapsing, because they're getting more whole now. Guys are coming back. It's unfortunate. It would have been nicer if we were a couple of points closer and could have had, because being in a playoff run for the kids is almost like making the playoffs and going out in the first round. There's still that pressure on every game. just the adversity that you got to fight, and the excitement of the games, and the tension, and the hard checking and everything. So, you know, I mean, I would like to see them stay in this race, at least have them believe that they're still in the race, so they can get this experience as well. You know, I mean, I think it's good. I think it's good for the team. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they just, my whole approach is put your head down and just play and see where it happens. The chances of them getting to where they need to go in as far as the playoffs is slim, but you can't look at that. You want to finish the season strong. I think we're in total agreement. It just sucks how things panned out when you don't play a complete season, and that's just the way things were dealt with our squad, you know? So,
I agree with you on that. That's the other thing, too. If we were doing a full 82-game schedule, I would still think they'd have a real good shot of getting in, you know, because they were pulling it all together. They, you know, they were starting to get some momentum. They were starting to get some confidence. You can see it in a lot of the young players. If there were, you know, another 16 games to go rather than 10, I would still give them a good shot to get in. But it's just, you know, we're also a victim of, you know, the way they got off to a slow start, which, you know, a lot of young guys, no real training camp, no, I mean, I know everybody went through it, but, you know, we had a lot of new guys on the team. And, you know, I think it just took a little while for them to gel and put it together early on. But now I think they're... you know, they got their mojo working. They got on a little bit of a run, even in games that they're losing. They're playing well. This was the first stinker that I can remember in a while, right?
Yeah, since one of the Pittsburgh losses, yeah.
Yeah, right. One of the Pittsburgh games, but that was a few weeks ago now. For a young team, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I'm going to miss them. I was just thinking about it the other night. I was like, wow, 10, 11, 12 games left. I'm going to miss them when they're gone. This has really been, they've really become a lot of fun to watch, you know? And I was just thinking that the other day. I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss them when they're gone. Just get you more excited for next season, too, and the seasons after that.
If it was a full 82-game season, it probably would be playing everybody in the entire league, right? Because you're not just playing your division.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be playing everybody. So who knows how things could have gone, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, Steve, if you look at the other divisions in the league, they're in fourth place in a couple of the divisions pretty comfortably with 10 games to go. And, you know, we said right in the beginning, we looked at this division and said, boy, this is probably the toughest division in the NHL. And it's really, you know, I mean, the Flyers have not been as good as I thought they would be. But, you know, when you look at it, the other divisions have pretty much three excellent teams. This division has four. And when you're playing half your games against really good teams as a young team, it's tough. You know, you don't have a lot of those bottom feeders to get your points on like there are in some of the other divisions. And, you know, so I'm, you know, I can't be disappointed. Like I said, they got the 14th best record in the league, which is about where they should be. I'll be real disappointed in these last 10 games if they go like 3-7 or something like that. I want to see them play out the string. I want to see them play hard. I want to see them continue to get more confidence and progress. And, you know, I'll be disappointed if they kind of throw the hat in like I am now. I don't want them to have that mentality. I want them to still play.
Just make sure they don't hear you.
Yeah,
just make sure they don't hear you,
right? Yeah, exactly. I hope they're not listening to the podcast here. You know, I want them to still think they can make it, and I want to see them play well in these last 10 games. I'll be real disappointed if they go, you know, 4-6, 3-7 over these games. You know, we'll see. We'll see what their mental attitude is after this. For a young team to, you know, kind of, you know, blow out the Devils in a couple of games and then, you know, get big leads, lose them, come back, which is, you know, you don't want to lose big leads, but they did come back. They didn't let it get them down and lose the games. So, you know, to go from a really positive week to have this happen tonight, I can't wait till Thursday to see how they come out against the Flyers, what their mentality is. Because that'll be important to see, you know, for the way.
Couldn't agree anymore, man. A dud tonight in Long Island, 6-1 loss. The guys did exactly what they needed to do versus the Devils, but they needed to continue it, you know, and continue to go on, but just got to rebound, just go on a serious streak and see how things play out, maybe Boston trips or whatever. But Glenn, give us the final thoughts, man. I thought this was a good analysis or just a summary level discussion on what the Rangers need to do and what they're up against versus the teams they are chasing ahead of them. Because who we got next Tuesday? We got a game next Tuesday or no? Let me see.
We got Buffalo. We got Buffalo on Sunday, and then I want to say we get the Islanders again on Tuesday. Do we?
Let me see.
Buffalo on
post game versus the. We got a post game versus the Sabres. That's a home game, right? Okay. Okay, home game versus
Tuesday. You're right. Sabres are Sunday and Tuesday, and then the Islanders are later in the week. I think you're right.
I would say 3 out of 4 by the time we get to this point next Tuesday. 3 out of 4 easily.
Yeah, I mean,
we won all four, but definitely three.
Yeah, I'd say 3 out of 4. I mean, I wanted to crow about the four Islander games because or the four Devil games because last week I was telling you guys that if they won all four I wouldn't be surprised, but I actually didn't come out and predict it like you did that week with the 6 points, so I can't crow about it. But I did tell you guys I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. So I was sweating out Sunday afternoon. You know, I mean, as far as the Rangers go, hey, look, you know, I keep saying, and I have been saying, despite the standings, I think we're accomplishing what we've needed to accomplish this year. I think, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this over the next couple of weeks, I think there's going to be some moves over the summer. We got a lot of guys, more guys than we have spots to play. We got more guys coming in. I found it interesting that they signed four guys, including Zach Jones and Schneider, and two other guys to entry-level contracts now, which is burning a year of their eligibility. I know there were some cap ramifications to that, specifically with Jones, because he didn't take any bonus money. And they're kind of strapped with bonus money with a lot of the guys that they have. So that, you know, is why they were able to sign him this year. But, you know, I think they're going to start using some of these younger players as assets to make a couple of trades for what they need. You know, it might be guys that we've gotten a little attached to or we've heard their names or, you know, but there's just too many guys now. So I think there's going to be some moves over the summer, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later toward the end of the season. But, you know, as far as now, hey, I just want to see them, you know, keep the ship going, stay the course. They've played very well up until tonight, and I hope they just bounce back and, you know, we see good efforts against the Flyers. I mean, they certainly should have some confidence against the Flyers, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, then you got the Sabres after that who were actually playing better, which is pretty funny with our old nemesis Dustin Tokarski in the net. I remember him from the Montreal series back in, I guess it was 14, when Kreider hit Price and knocked him out of the series.
Tokarski
came in and almost stole the series for them. You know, I mean, I hope and I expect that they're going to show the resilience that they have through most of this season. You know, they haven't gone into any real long funks. You have to give them that. They really haven't gone long stretches where they haven't played well. So I'm expecting to see a really good effort against Philly. They'll be back home. They should have some confidence against the Flyers with the way they played them this year. And I'll be disappointed if I don't see a really good effort, you know, the next two games against Philly and then certainly against Buffalo before we speak again.
We'll find out next Tuesday, Glenn.
I think you
will not be disappointed. I don't think you will be disappointed. So we'll rendezvous by the time we get through these games versus Philly, versus the Sabres. And then hopefully, I don't know how this is going to happen with Buffalo and how they're, you know, even, I mean, not Buffalo, Boston, to see how they do. But, you know, you only can do what you can control. So shout-outs to Glenn. Thank you very much, man. And myself, post-game versus the Islanders, Rangers lose 6-1. We'll be back next Tuesday, of course. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl. Shout-outs to RP. Shout-outs to Scott. Shout-outs to everybody, man. Shout-outs to Craig. Shout-outs to Glenn, myself. And we'll discuss this next Tuesday, man. Sangresu, ladies and gentlemen, bleed blue. Let's go, Rangers.
See you next
Can
week.
You dig it?
Yeah.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.